Coming up on Bear Podcast, we have Ted and Ryan to talk about legacy and prep. Stay tuned. Bear Podcast 586.
Bigger than the Earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needs to be slapped.
Strip Cards Against Humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And joining us today are Ted and Ryan. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes. And actually, it's a special episode right now because we're in the show. We've been talking about prep for about 2 or 3 years now and everything. And now we have the Ted as a representative of Legacy here in Houston. Of course, Ryan is the one who's going to be talking about his use of prep. So, yeah, so I'm glad you guys were able to join us today. So,
me too. My pleasure. Thank
you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Ray, since we talked about prep for...
We've been talking about... Well, we started off with Truvada about what... Ted, when did it hit the market? 3 years ago? 2 years ago?
Well, Truvada for prep was approved in 2012.
So, it's been 3 years now. So I think we did a podcast 3 years ago talking about this new drug, Truvada.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about a whole bunch of stuff during the show. And then, of course, the progression of the last 3 years, new articles have come out. And then I think 2-3 weeks ago, the article published in San Francisco about the guys that have been followed on PrEP for the past 2 years and nobody had turned up HIV positive.
The Kaiser study, yeah. Over 600.
Oh, it's a Kaiser study.
So we thought, well, you know what? It's about time we actually talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about than us just reading articles. So that's why we invited Legacy here. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like, tell us a little bit about what Legacy does here in Houston and around the area.
Sure, my pleasure. Legacy was started in the 70s as an STI clinic for gay men. Gradually, they grew over the years, and now I believe we have over 11 clinics and quite a few other satellite locations. We have KIP locations in the schools. We do quite a bit out in the world. Nowadays, most of our testing program is done through our public health department, who also helps us with our PrEP clients as well as our newly diagnosed HIV positive clients as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So, define to us. We talked about the show, but for people who are new to the show, what is PrEP?
PrEP is a concept, first of all. So, you may have, for example, at a dental clinic, you may have been given antibiotics before a procedure. That's PrEP. You may have been prescribed anti-malarial medication before you go over to an endemic region. That's also PrEP. It's basically just taking a medication to prevent something else. Truvada for PrEP is basically what we're talking about today, which is an antiretroviral medication that's used for treatment of HIV-positive people that is used for a pre-exposure prophylaxis purpose. So it's used to prevent HIV instead of treat it in this case. Mm-hmm. For treatment of HIV, it was approved in 2004. So it's been on the market for quite a while.
Okay. Well, interesting. I guess... how about requirements? Requirements of obtaining PrEP from any like Legacy or how do you obtain them?
Sure. The only way you would get it is from a doctor, somebody who has to write a prescription for it. The guidelines that have been released by the CDC are that you receive STI testing before you start PrEP, kidney and liver function, make sure that your kidneys are functioning properly. We need to have you tested every 3 months for STIs going forward, as well as HIV. We have to make sure that you're HIV negative. It's very critical that you're HIV negative before you start PrEP. If you take Truvada for PrEP and you're actually HIV positive or within that seroconversion window, mm-hmm. That's not enough to keep your viral load suppressed, and it's possible that you could develop resistance. That's why
it is the dangerous part.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why we take such great pains to make sure that you're HIV negative before you start.
So how does it actually work, PrEP in general? I mean, right now, it's used for, like Truvada, it can be used for treatment. But now it's really used for prevention. That's why we have PrEP. So
it's still the core of most people's treatment if you're HIV positive. So it's it works the same way whether you're HIV positive or negative. It prevents the virus from completing its life cycle inside the cell. Without getting too technical, you can go really deep into exactly how it works, you know, from a technical perspective. But that's really what it does. It prevents the virus from completing its life cycle.
Okay.
Are there any side effects? And the reason I ask that, because we were talking earlier about growing up in that age where HIV hit and you had full-blown AIDS cases, and which we still have today, but the whole treatment about when the first AIDS medications first came out and the side effects that they had. What side effects does Truvada have?
So some of those side effects, the lipodystrophy, you know, redistribution of fat. Some people had the hump on the neck or something around the belly. Those are like first generation protease inhibitors that were causing that. Truvada is not known to cause that. It's a warning. It's a class warning, but it's actually on the label. But we've never seen that to happen for folks.
Okay.
Some of the side effects might be a little bit of kidney impairment, which is one of the things we monitor for. Every 3 months, we check your kidney function. Sometimes people see a slight little elevation in their creatinine clearance, but then it usually drops back down to normal, and we don't worry about it anymore. Bone mineral density is another one. Some people have seen a little bit of a decrease in bone mineral density. And, of course, GI upset. Every medication on earth seems to have GI upset as a side effect.
Well, I'm diabetic, so I'll never know a difference. So
it generally goes away. And most people who've talked to me about it have told me that they don't know that they're taking anything at all.
Well, Ryan, the reason we have you here is because you're on PrEP. And by the way, I went to the doctor today and took the blood test to get on to PrEP. So we're starting that process. So, but you're already on it, and you've been on it how long?
I've been on it since June, July. Actually, so only about 3 months. So I'm actually due for my next STI, STD, HIV test and blood work. It's been really positive. I did experience some abdominal issues whenever I first got on it, but I haven't had any side effects for the most part. It's all been really positive.
Like just bloating or something, or what is it?
Yeah, a little bit of nausea, and I sort of lost my appetite for a couple of days, but it passed.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Like I said, I'm on the diabetes medication, so it's the same thing, so it's no difference. And if I lost my appetite, it'd be a good thing. So,
So how do you get ready? Like, you start your regimen, okay, of the meds, and how long would it be? Like 2 weeks? Then you can, I should say, sexually active. is that how you say it? I don't know.
Well, here's a good example. Since you're talking about that, major TV shows have picked up on this now. If you watch How to Get Away with Murder, one of the characters became HIV positive, and now his partner went to go get on PrEP. And the last two episodes all have been about waiting for the PrEP to take effect so they could have sex again.
I haven't actually seen that episode, but from what I understand, they were a little bit incorrect. Was that they were saying that it required a month?
I think that's what they were doing, the 30-day countdown or something
like that. Was that a male-male couple?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So for men, the Truvada gets to the therapeutic level in the rectal tissue in about 7 days. For vaginal and cervical tissue, it takes up to 20 days. So they may have been erring on the side of caution there a little bit far. But,
well, it is TV. So.
Yeah, it's
TV. It is TV. So.
And 30 days is a great suspenseful.
I know. I can't have sex for 30 days. Oh, my God.
How am I going to do this?
Yeah. So,
but yeah, it's a lot easier to lump everybody together than to explain a gender-based difference.
Well, let's talk about it. I know we talk about PrEP because I think pretty much all of us are gay men, but how does this affect straight couples or heterosexual couples or women in general who want to have that extra layer of protection?
So this is it's a fantastic thing for women. First of all, it's great for women whose partners are positive and they want to conceive in a natural way. Sperm washing, which used to be the go-to technique for women who wanted to conceive, can cost up to $10,000 per cycle, versus getting your partner undetectable, taking PrEP, conceiving naturally, and then you can continue to use PrEP if you want to, or go off of it and go back to condoms, or however you were practicing your safer sex before.
Mm-hmm.
It's also great for people who have trouble with condom negotiation. For example, an imbalance in the power dynamic in a relationship. Your partner is paying all the bills and controls the household and doesn't want to use condoms, but you may not necessarily be too certain if that person's actually being faithful to you or not. that's something that you can control that you don't necessarily have to tell anybody about. Also good for sex workers because unfortunately the thing for sex workers is that a lot of clients will pay more for condomless sex. And this is something that allows them to be a little bit safer during that process.
This is just my observation. It feels like it's like a silver bullet. How do you say this? Is the right term for that? It's more like a license to be not careful. Is that, I don't know. That's how I feel about it. What do you think about it, Ryan?
I've heard people say that. I think it's all about how you view PrEP and Truvada and how you use it. Like me, I've not really changed my sexual practices since I've been on it. I see it more as a tool than, like I said, a license to sort of do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things Ted and I were talking about earlier before the show started was, I guess, basically slut shaming. But because of our generation growing up with the AIDS epidemic, to us going out and just having free fall bareback sex to a certain extent was kind of, it just didn't seem right.
It was a death wish.
It was a death wish.
Yeah.
So we grew up with that. And I think to me, that's always been my stigma of it. It's like, okay, now they got that and you can have condomless sex and people just go crazy. But I also understand that people are going to do what people want to do regardless. So.
Because I think during the 90s, there was that whole, you know, use condoms and everything. I don't think people use condoms as effectively as people would like to admit. So I think Truvada is a great tool to use in addition with advocating for condom use.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, the statistics have not changed since about 2007. We've leveled off at about 50,000 infections per year in the U.S. So at some point, the condom message has sort of reached its saturation. Yes, it's great to continue that, but we need a new tool because right now we've leveled off for this number of years. And everybody who's going to use all those condoms is using them, and that's great, and we're going to continue that message. But this new tool is hopefully going to help us bend that curve down a little bit. It's already working in San Francisco and Los Angeles, who were the pilot projects for PrEP. You can actually look at their infection statistics, and you can start to see a curve down around 2012, a little bit earlier for San Francisco.
When the listeners to the show, when we've talked about PrEP before, I've been talking to them, and they're saying, well, I'm on PrEP now, and the whole reason I got on it is because five of my friends, we all went and got tested at the same time. Two of them turned up positive in the same testing just because they're like, oh, we need to go do it. Let's go do it together. Did it. So he was like, it's a no-brainer for me. He said, why would I want to put myself at risk not being on PrEP than just going out there and free-for-alling it and taking that chance? So
that was actually my same reasoning. I had an HIV scare and got tested, and I had learned about PrEP from a friend because he was on it, and I said, why not? Why not at least explore my options? And I did, and I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so actually, I remember those days when those testing, one of our friends would have a HIV testing party.
Yeah.
He would hold it in somebody's house. Okay, let's go, and then get tested. Thankfully, none of us were, all of us were okay. But then it was really common back then. I guess it's still now, people throwing HIV testing parties.
Well, no, I don't think they're doing testing parties anymore. I think there's just a group of friends that, hey, we need to go get tested, and they all went together.
Mm-hmm.
Was what his story was. So
it can get a little awkward when it's a group of friends that maybe not necessarily tight knit friends.
Yeah.
People that you really don't necessarily want to be there when you're given that result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, I push for PrEP so heavily for people because when I first started working at Legacy, I was doing the counseling and testing, so I was going out into the bars, and I remember very vividly the first positive result I had to give, and it was somebody very, very young. And I didn't know if I was coming back to work that next day. It was very traumatic for me to deliver that result to somebody so young. And with PrEP being out there, I really thought that the louder the voice, you know, the more information we get out there, we're not throwing pills at people.
Yeah.
What we're interested in is making sure that everybody has the information and understands that it's available and it can be a very low cost or no cost.
Hmm.
So you hear that it's expensive. It's not. Yeah. I mean, it is expensive. But it's also available.
Yeah, let's talk about the cost. Mm-hmm. So right now, it can be free. You said mm-hmm. it can be free, it can be covered by insurance. How does that dynamic work?
Sure, it works. It's a little bit tricky. It's actually why I have our patient navigators or our patient educators here at Legacy to help decipher that process. But PrEP is very expensive. If you were to walk into a pharmacy and say, I had like a month of Truvada, you're looking at about $1,400, depending on your pharmacy. If you make less than $58,000 a year and do not have insurance, Gilead will send you the medication for free as long as you've already had all the testing and you've got a prescription that's signed by your provider.
Okay.
Patient Access Network also will offer up to $4,000 a year, and that's somewhat renewable. So that, I mean, if there's still money left over and you still need more help, they can always renew that. So, for example, if you have a really high deductible health plan, for example, you'll have $2,000 worth of out-of-pocket costs. They can help you with that. Gilead copay card is kind of our go-to thing. If you have insurance and your copay is $100, the copay card will cover that entirely, making your out-of-pocket cost to be zero.
Hmm.
Most people don't pay anything for PrEP. As long as they understand how to use the process and how to use the resources that are available.
And one of the things we talked about while we were setting up for the show, because a friend of mine was talking about the white card.
No.
We talked about it, and I said, is that really a thing? I mean, is it about white people getting over it? And it comes back to the insurance,
right?
What we're talking about.
It comes back to access to health care. So if you're a member of a population that has a historically reduced access to health care, that's going to be a problem. PrEP requires a prescription, which requires a doctor's appointment and some lab testing. So there's a whole process getting that person into health care, which we love because we consider PrEP to be a gateway drug to health care. Because we will find all kinds of ancillary things that we can help you with, high blood pressure, undiagnosed diabetes, all kinds of things that can show up in people that are far younger than we would expect those things to show up in. So we're able to address those problems as well.
And I totally agree with that, because one of the benefits that I was going to say about PrEP was that it's caused me to be more proactive about my health. You know, because I have to get blood work taken every 3 months, and I'm taking better care of myself.
Yeah, that's good. I guess Obamacare can cover this too, right?
It does, yeah.
It does.
Make sure you pick the right plan, though.
There you go, the right plan.
Those bronze plans have a very high deductible.
Okay, I'm curious about lapsing. What if you do have a lapse?
What's the schedule frequency of taking?
Yeah, frequency. Let's talk about frequency first. Every day,
and we'd rather you take it at the same time every day. Mostly because we'd like you to get in the habit of taking it at the same time every day. If you miss it by a couple hours, it's not an issue. But missing a couple of days, that can become a problem. The studies have shown that anything over 4 to 5 days a week is great. We haven't seen a whole lot of, anybody seroconvert taking it between 4 and 5 days a week. We would much rather have that 7-day absolute cushion, or no cushion.
Wow, it's really like a pill. Okay, so when you do that, you keep taking it. And if you do, let's say you lapse. Mm-hmm. You lapse for 2 days. You just need to build it up again.
So Truvada has a long half-life in the body, which is why you can theoretically miss 2 days and just start taking it again. You don't necessarily want to do that with regularly. And you probably want to tell your doctor that you're having some adherence issues so they can help you with techniques to manage that. So they'll give you a pill box. I'll talk to people about putting it in their iPhones.
Or put a string in your finger.
Wow. Well, no. We have digital strings. So there are apps we use for adherence. There are things you can get on the App Store that are great for that.
You make phone calls, by the way.
No,
we're not going to make that.
Please take your PrEP. No, we do not make phone calls in that regard.
That's what your friends do for friends.
Text notifications?
Yes. Or a robocall or something.
Yes, everybody loves robocalls. For sure.
Yeah, this is interesting because let's just say you do miss I guess you just keep taking it. You just keep taking it. And then at some point, you mentioned earlier about at some point that you are ready to go. That's the way you say it. You're ready to go for, not necessarily to be unsafe. But remember you were talking about 30 days, you're having a countdown. Mm-hmm. So right now, what you said earlier, it's shorter than that?
So for rectal tissue, it's 7 days.
Seven days. Oh, okay.
So it's, but for cervical and vaginal tissue, it's anywhere between 20 and 22 days.
Okay, all right.
So that's why it can be a little complicated depending on your gender.
I see, okay. That's so interesting.
But yes, as far as the lapsing goes, that goes back to us wanting to make sure that you're HIV negative before you start. Mm-hmm. So if you have a lapse of more than a week or two, we're going to need to check you again to make sure before you restart Truvada to make sure that you haven't become infected during that window.
Yeah.
So there may be kind of a waiting period before you can start again, because we do need to make sure we run those sensitive tests to make sure that you're still HIV negative.
Okay. Wow. Is there any dangers of resistance?
The resistance argument, that's a good one. So yes, and it goes back to what we were just talking about a second ago. So for example, if you had a lapse, you were off of Truvada for your week or 2 weeks or whatever, and happened to become infected with HIV during that window, and then you decide, I'm not going to talk to my doctor, I'm just going to go ahead and start taking my Truvada again, and say your appointment with your doctor is not for another 2 months. So unfortunately, what you're doing is you're taking Truvada, which is not enough to suppress HIV fully once it's in your system. So you're sort of training it to be resistant. Mm. And that's a possibility, which is why we're so careful beginning to make sure that you're HIV negative. Because it is possible, theoretically, to become resistant to Truvada if you're newly infected and you just start taking Truvada by itself.
And if you become resistant to Truvada, then really cannot do PrEP anymore. Then you'll...
Well, no, because then you're HIV positive.
Yeah, you're HIV positive.
So in order to be on PrEP, you have to be HIV negative. So viruses become resistant to medications, people don't. So a lot of times people say, well, if I take Truvada forever, will I become resistant? No. You'll become... your virus may become resistant if you become infected while you're taking Truvada by itself. But you could take Truvada until the end of time, and as long as you don't become infected, you'll never be resistant to it. Mm-hmm. Your virus will never be resistant to it.
Okay. Interesting. So just to wrap it up, I guess, how can people have more information about PrEP?
Sure. There's a couple of fantastic organizations out there that are doing a great job getting the word out. Project Inform out of San Francisco will send pamphlets to just about anybody. I've been ordering. I ordered tons of them. There's lots of them out in the lobby, I think, still. Is PrEP Right for Me is a great one. It's a project of the Stigma Project. So they do it's like a little iPhone app, and you just answer a couple of little questions, and all of a sudden it tells you, yes, you should go talk to your doctor about PrEP, or no, PrEP's not right for you. And of course the CDC, cdc.gov is also a great one. I mean, the World Health Organization just kind of issued some more guidelines around antiretroviral treatment, as well as expanding access to PrEP worldwide. So hopefully the governments that are in charge of that will get on board.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that, one of our questions that we kind of hinted on here, but say I live out in BFE, and I go talk to my doctor and I get kind of slut-shamed or saying, oh, you don't need that. Why would you want to take that?
That is
how do I get around that?
That is a really common problem. And unfortunately, a lot of people will have that issue. And what I will tell them is that if you can't be honest with your doctor about all of your behaviors, including your sexual behavior, that doctor is probably not the right one for you, because that doctor doesn't have all the information that they need in order to treat you appropriately. So my first suggestion would be to find a doctor that you can really be honest with, and somebody that's knowledgeable. If that's not possible, then of course you might consider seeking out a clinic or an infectious disease specialist. A lot of the stories we hear are of people, their primary care doctors sending them to an infectious disease specialist who are overwhelmed with people who are already infected. Mm-hmm. So there aren't a whole lot, I mean, there are tons of infectious disease specialists running around just waiting to write PrEP prescriptions. This is a primary care focused type thing.
Okay.
California just recently sent out a Dear Colleague letter from their medical association explaining Truvada and PrEP to every doctor in the state. I'd like to see that happen in Texas, hopefully, fingers crossed. But yeah, in the meantime, it's basically about finding a doctor that you can work with. And basically, the advice is, if your doctor is not willing to prescribe PrEP, find one who is. There would be one somewhere.
Okay.
I mean, we've had people that drive great distances to come down here because they weren't able to access it.
Okay. And how do people in Texas, how do they find out more about Legacy?
Legacy, go to our website, legacycommunityhealth.org. If you are in Houston and you're interested in talking to one of our patient educators about PrEP, the number is 832-548-5221.
All right. Since this is a special show, having Ted and Ryan just to talk about PrEP and everything, we did pick up an article for Gay, and it's about HIV positive and undetectable, and what does it really mean? So let me just read the excerpt from this article from Huffington Post. It's, for those who are still unsure, an HIV-positive person can achieve undetectable levels after undergoing antiretroviral therapy. A level of a person's viral load, HIV viral load, is what causes them to be more or less likely to transmit the disease. An undetectable viral load reduces the likelihood of transmission by 96%. Once a person achieves an undetectable status, it is possible to remain at this level provided that the person is compliant with the ART. With ART medication. So, right now in your experience, Ted, mm-hmm. you've seen people who have been undetectable. So, in your own words, in your experience, so how do they describe themselves, or how do they feel about being undetectable, or reaching a point of being undetectable?
I think it's a great goal. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's able to make it to that point because they've either been on treatment for a long time and have just a kind of a low level resistance that's not allowing them to get to undetectable. I'd like to go a little bit about talk a little bit about what undetectable means. It means different things depending on which state you're in.
Okay.
Because in certain states, it's less than 50 copies per milliliter of the virus. In Texas, it's less than 20, and it's based on the sensitivity of the test, basically. From what I understand, there's another test that's in development that'll be able to detect one copy per milliliter of blood. So when everybody moves to that test, that's what undetectable will mean.
Wow.
So undetectable is, it really depends. I mean, some people, they're moving to a term called virally suppressed, which is your virus is less than, I believe, 400 or 500 copies per milliliter. So it just depends on what everybody's very precise about their language,
mm-hmm.
Because yeah. we want to avoid the stigma, of course.
That's right. Ryan, have you met people who say they are undetectable?
Oh yes, definitely. And I've had some HIV positive undetectable sex partners, and both before and after PrEP, I will say I'm more comfortable being on PrEP and having, intercourse with someone who is HIV positive, but definitely, and some of them are my closest friends.
See, that it's always good to have, to be with friends. having sex with friends. I mean, instead of strangers, right?
Yeah.
You got to know the person first, right? You got to be friends with them for a while. So, an education on the specifics of HIV as it is today, including the meaning of being undetectable, should be mandatory reading for gay men, regardless of HIV status. It is critical that the entire community understand that where we are in terms of HIV research. No matter how far removed you are from the HIV pandemic, you are still susceptible to the virus, especially if you think you aren't. So that's the hard part. People these days, they don't check. They don't. That's usually a problem that you see here. People come.
But Ted,
right?
what's as far as new HIV infections? Is there specific age groups that is hitting?
Generally younger. Yes, it's skewing pretty young.
And the older ones are. You're saying we should say the older ones are safer, I guess.
No, not necessarily. But no, the new infections that we're seeing are mostly in the younger populations. It's either, we don't know why, of course, that is. I mean, we can't ask everybody that shows up that's newly positive and say, well, why? What is it that you think about this? But it's possible that it's something the way Ray was discussing that we were talking about the fact that HIV is not a death sentence anymore, and that's a great thing. But it also changes the equation. It's not unprotected sex equals death anymore.
Yeah, I remember back then that's how people felt.
Mm-hmm. And for the younger generation, they didn't really go through everything that the older generation has as far as losing really close people and everything like that. So I think that's also a factor in the almost cavalier attitude towards HIV. It's not, I've heard the saying, undetectable is the new negative, which I disagree with, but I think the attitude towards HIV in young people is different than in the older generation, definitely.
Yeah, some people will say that's a problem. I think it's great. The fact that it's not a death sentence anymore means people who have it are not, yes, it's not a picnic, but it's not nearly as what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the interesting things I talked to my doctor about years ago, because I'm HIV negative, but the person I was dating was HIV positive. And the doctor says, well, if you get it, I can almost 99% guarantee you won't get it from him because he's on his HIV medication. He's undetectable. And everybody that's come through here that has a positive partner and a negative partner, it's the negative partner when he turns up positive is because he went out and slept with somebody else. And I thought that was always interesting that if medications are managed and everybody does what they're supposed to, it's next to zero transmission.
Right. And a recent study was that actually backed that up. Was there were they followed a whole large group of people in Europe, and they were undetectable. They were as virally suppressed as they were, and they were taking their medications. And they did find exactly that. Mm-hmm. They found that when somebody did turn up positive in the study, they were able to type the virus using some genetic analysis, and they could pretty much tell you that it was not their partner that infected them.
Oh, they can get the strain. They can get the strain.
How many different strains or HIV are there now?
Oh,
is there multiple?
There's different clades. There's different strains. There's even within the same family. All the mutation patterns are different. Most people will have some mutations, but they're not necessarily harmful mutations. We do a genotype test on new HIV positive people when they come into the clinic for treatment, just to make sure that none of the medications that we're going to prescribe for them are going to be ineffective, because some of the mutations can cause resistance. So we do a genotype analysis, and it tells us all the little variations that their virus has.
Yeah. So have you seen people who have been resistant? We were talking about in the pre-show that he's done all the cocktails. Mm-hmm. He's HIV positive, but he's done all the cocktails, and he's just waiting. Is that what you're saying?
Well, either for new drugs to come out. Mm-hmm. But the drugs that he's been prescribed over the last 27 years, he's done them all already, pretty much. And it's not cute. And it's not. And he's not. His viral load's not going up. But the doctors are telling me there's no more cocktails we can give you to help keep you at an undetectable level now, because he's tried it. Or at least that's what he's told me. Yeah. I don't know how true that is, but that's the story I got. So
that means he just needs to stay whatever, however, meds that he has right now. And is it coming to a point now for HIV positive people that who has reached that point, that taken all the cocktails that they have, that they're available for them, and then probably 27, 30 years
already. Is that still the term now, cocktail?
ARVs, heart, highly active antiretroviral therapy. You can still call it the cocktail, it's fine. Most patients are on three drug regimens. Truvada by itself is two drugs. So you just add one more and you've got a complete HIV regimen there. But yes, there are some patients, unfortunately, that have pretty much gone through most of the medications that are available. And there's actually quite a few. I think there was 27 last time I looked. But there are more on the horizon, and hopefully they'll be available soon.
Well, talking about this already, we were talking earlier that you said there was something about the new terms for HIV negative, HIV positive but undetectable.
There's five, but I can't remember all five. I remember there's HIV undetectable, there's HIV positive, there's negative, like an assumed negative, but you don't know when your last test was several months ago, and then there was negative on PrEP. Because as long as you're on PrEP, and if you're taking your medication the way it's prescribed, it's very unlikely that you'll become HIV positive. So it's kind of like a super negative.
Super negative. Double negative is positive. No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not. It's just super negative. Okay. That's good to know. So how about you, Ryan? Are you dating anyone right now?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Okay.
I am, and he is negative. He's been tested recently. So I don't have anything to worry about as far as as far as that goes.
That's always good. So Ray, you did say you're trying to.
I started the process this morning. So
okay.
They drew enough blood that I felt like I'd slept with a vampire the night before.
Oh, really? Okay.
They just
there's a lot to test for.
I know. There's a lot of vials coming out there, and I was like, whew.
That's right.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'll be able to give firsthand experience, hopefully, if everything goes back right.
Actually, I'm on the fence. I'm thinking about it, too, myself. So.
Well, you're married, so why should you worry about it?
That's right.
I'd like to interject here.
There you go.
Yes, that's right.
Between one third and two thirds of new HIV infections can be traced to your primary partner. So it's you only have control about what you do. You don't have control over what somebody else does. So there's definitely something to consider when you're thinking about that. And it's not something you have to discuss with anybody. There are lots of people who are out there doing that are prep cheerleaders, but then there are other people who keep it to themselves, and that's either way is fine.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well. I guess, that wraps the show.
Yeah.
And really thank you guys for joining us. And it's great to talk about PrEP and giving more information.
We know Jack.
Well, we do have sources. It's just that right
has
now.
Google.
Yeah. Everybody Google. Has Google.
Yeah.
And if it's on the internet, we know it's true.
Right.
Mm. Yes. So for questions, how can people ask about or find more information about what we talked about today?
Sure. They can go to cdc.gov. They can go to Project Inform out of San Francisco. Google's a great source, but be careful where you Google because you can end up in some pretty unsavory places that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you're in Houston, you can definitely come talk to us.
All right.
And one thing before we close here. PrEP's not available in every country.
That is absolutely true. Unfortunately, it is not available in every country, and there are there are some people who are prepping themselves using overseas medication because they understand. Well, actually, it's very cheap in other countries. I think you can get it for $50 a month from an overseas pharmacy. Not everybody can afford to pay U.S. prices for medication.
True.
But another great source, there's actually a Facebook page called Prep Facts, redefining something about sex. But Prep Facts is a great one. It's got over 10,000 people, and some of them are the leading PrEP researchers in the world. So if you have any questions, you can always go there and read on the files and ask the experts.
Because one of the things we haven't talked about on the show is the Fuck Raw campaign, which is Australia.
That's what I thought initiated this whole conversation. I forgot.
Well, it is. That's what started the whole conversation because we were going to talk about it. And I said, hang on. Let's back up and start from the beginning. Get the stuff, and then we'll talk about that. Because apparently in Australia, because it's universal health care, PrEP is not offered.
No. In resource-limited countries, they really are doing the cost analysis. Like, how much is it going to cost us to provide this?
It's cheaper to bury them.
And they're trying to figure out where the cost effectiveness number is. There's how high risk do you have to be? Is it just going to be something that everybody gets? All of the resource limited countries are doing that. France did an on demand study, so they were trying to figure out can we get away with not giving it to people 7 days a week? Can we do 4 days a week after they've had? So if you think you're going to have sex this weekend, take two pills before. Take one pill each day over the weekend and then take a couple more pills afterwards.
Can you do that?
The French say you can, but it turned out to be okay. I mean, the results were good, but the problem with that is if you have two sexual encounters per week, you're actually taking more Truvada than you would be if you were just take it 7 days a week to begin with.
Hmm.
Just need, start off with
they just need to come up with a Truvada Norplant. Well, I'll be set. All the
they're working on it.
I'll be
it's
be
not
set.
Truvada though. It's called Cabotegravir. They're working on a 3-month injectable shot.
Sweet.
Whoa, that's a.
I believe it's in phase 3 trials.
Yeah, that's a game. Truly game changer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You go to some parties and
see and then every
matches.
University in America can make it mandatory. So on your first day of admission, you go in. You're done.
You get your birth control and your prep shot.
That's awesome.
And then one more before finals just to make sure it hurts extra more.
That's right.
That's right. Well, thank you, Ted, for joining us. Thank you, Ryan. It's awesome. It's awesome that you guys joined us. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
And guys, if you want to call in and ask questions or talk about what we've talked about today, you can leave us a voice message at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes. Also, you can email us at show@bearpodcast.com and subscribe via iTunes, YouTube, and Vimeo. And you can also listen to the show on Stitcher Radio and Bear Radio Network. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. And we will catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. And wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear. Podcast your ass. Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear. Podcast your ass. Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear. Podcast your ass. Woof, what a bear.
No, I do. I have to decorate somebody's cubicle for their birthday.
Okay. We'll send it to Jerry. I don't want to decorate their cubicle.
Oh, I already did his. I got his for his birthday.